Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
With me, please. Let me read our base text for this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I said the other day, just kidding, I said it's so short, it was hardly worth standing up, and I got a letter of rebuke for that. I apologize. I didn't mean that the Word of God wasn't worth standing up for. I was just being my funny self. And sometimes I'm not as funny as I think I am. In fact, one of the ladies in my church, in our church here in the old building, I guess I said a few funny things. And she said, if you weren't a preacher, you'd be a stand-up comedian. And I felt so good when she said it, because I thought, and then she said, out of work, but a stand-up comedian. That wasn't nice. That first part was really good. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may be seated. Remember what Pastor Becky taught us? Everything is a decision. And I make a decision every day to get my hopes up higher than they were before. Faith is the substance, the foundation. But hope precedes faith. Hope precedes the foundation. In construction, before there's a foundation, there's a pad. There's the groundwork. There's the dirtwork. There's the pillars. Do you realize this is an amazing slab, concrete slab that we set on, stand on today? But before we did that, they worked out here for weeks and weeks and weeks doing the dirt work. And then when they got through that, doing that, they put, I think it was, if I remember right, I think it was 68 concrete pillars 25 feet down in the ground to set the slab on. None of that you see, but that was before the foundation. Hope is before the foundation. Before the dream, it's before the plans, it's before the logic, it's the seed of your dreams. Hope is not the exclusive possession of the privileged or the rich. Anybody can have hope, just any old body can have hope. Young, old, male, female, rich, poor, black, white, yellow, brown, anybody can have hope. It's a decision, but many have forfeited their hope. They have simply given away their hope for a variety of reasons. They've bowed to discouragement. There's probably nothing more pitiful than a person that has lost their hope. Very few people will ever challenge you in your life to get your hopes up. In fact, most people will tell you, don't get your hopes up. Since we've started this series, I've heard it so many times in business and in other places, don't get your hopes up. If someone doesn't increase your hope, you need to remove them from your input of counselor circle. Get them out. I don't mean you have to get them out of your life. It means that you have to turn a deaf ear to everything they say, because you are not going to come down to their level. I don't care whether it's your companion, your friend, your boss. If they are not helping you get your hopes up, turn a deaf ear to them. More people will condemn you then will encourage you to get your hopes up. They will condemn you for what you have done, and they will dash your hopes for what you're about to do. Condemnation might be the greatest enemy of hope. It very possibly is. And there's always plenty of people around to condemn you. What were you thinking? What did you do? Why did you say that? Why did you make that decision? Why did you make that choice? Always around. Condemnation might be hope's greatest enemy. Number one, it always says, you're wrong, you're wrong. There's something about human nature that likes to tell other people, you're wrong, you're wrong. Much preaching is just that, it's condemnation. It's, you're wrong, you're wrong. I kind of grew up on that kind of preaching. You're wrong, you're wrong. I didn't necessarily leave church, Tanya, feeling like I could do more. I felt like I could do less. That's not a good place to be. That's not a good church to go to. And so condemnation can come from any place. It's always from the devil, but he will use any vehicle he can to get you condemned. He'll use your spouse, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your fellow church members. God forbid your pastor. Maybe Pastor Brandon, not Pastor Steve for sure. He'll use anybody he can to condemn you. Because condemnation says, you're wrong, That's not the problem. The second thing of condemnation says, and you can't fix it. You just can't get right. You're wrong, and you can't get right. And the third thing condemnation says, you might as well quit. You know, I'm preaching to the cream of the crop that have been through Living Way in 47 years because you're the people that have not quit for whatever reason. There are people in this building that have had more reason to quit than some of the people that quit. But you didn't quit, so that makes you pretty special. You are simply people that say, I am going to conquer no matter what. And so condemnation says you might as well quit. Anything or anybody that tells you to quit is not of God. That's really easy. You know, you need to get these things. The writer said, my ears try words. You need to get some tests for words. When you hear something, should I receive that or should I reject that? One of those real things to test words is, how does it make you feel? Does it want to make you stop? Does it want to make you quit? That's bad advice. And the person that's giving that to me is a bad advisor. So I'm sorry. I'm going to limit my time with them, and I'm not going to receive what they say because they want to make me a quitter. They want to condemn me. But now when you realize that there might be some things wrong in my life, that's not necessarily condemnation. It can be conviction. Conviction is based not in defeat, but it's based in hope. Because it says, things are not like I want them to be. Apparently, I've made some wrong decisions. Apparently, I've taken the wrong road. I've made a bad choice here. That's conviction. In other words, it's saying in a subtle way, you're wrong. But it comes in the second step. Here is the solution. This can be fixed. God never tells you you're wrong without giving you the solution. He always gives you the solution. And number three, in conviction, it says you will succeed and you will overcome. I can't remember anybody in the embryonic stages of my ministry when I was just a young boy come up to me and said, oh, man, get your hopes up. I can't remember in that struggle such an event. It just didn't happen. But I do remember being encouraged to quit, to stop, to drop out, to give up, to leave the ministry, to file bankruptcy, don't bite off more than you can chew, don't take any risk, retreat, back up. I chose to get my hopes up and keep them up rather than listen to what people said to me. Hopelessness cannot be an option if you do not have an understanding of godly principles. If you get an understanding of God's principles, you will never, ever be hopeless. We should solicit anybody and everybody. We talk a lot about taking people out of our life because they're critical and they're negative and they're hurtful. But we ought to solicit people, anybody and everybody that shores up our hope. If they encourage us, we ought to gravitate to them. If they make our hope stronger, we ought to spend some time with them. It's our responsibility, our personal responsibility, regardless of who's around us, to get our hopes up and keep them up. If the Bible is anything, it's not anything, it's nothing if it's not a book of hope. The Bible is a book of hope. It's shot through and through with amazing stories of hope. The Bible declares of itself that it is a collection of illustrations and examples. Examples of what? Of hope overcoming hopelessness. It's the story of a barren woman well beyond barren age refused to lose hope until she became the mother of many nations, Sarah. That's what the Bible is. It's the record of four expelled lepers sitting outside the gate of Samaria because they had been thrown out of the church. They had been thrown out of the city. They had been left to die. They were left to die in their leprosy. But the story is, in their ebbing strength, they revived their hope and stood up and said, why sit we here till we die? and they begin to march. And as they marched, the Bible says God amplified the sound of their going until four lepers sounded like a marching army. Ladies and gentlemen, little is much when God is in it. And God can take the smallest effort of your hope and turn it into a conquering army of strength. You got to get your hope up and say, it doesn't matter that they've expelled me. It doesn't matter that they've denounced me as a leper. God is on my side. Every day of your life, you've got to get up and say, my hope is strong because my hope is in the Lord. And the Lord is with me, and the Lord is on my side. These lepers marched not only until they saved their self, until they saved their city that had expelled them, until they saved their nation. The Bible is an outstanding account of a mere boy with a slingshot. When Israel was totally defeated, and all their giants of military strength had succumbed and give up in fear, suddenly one little boy with hope and a slingshot, killed the Goliath and turned the history of Israel around. It's the report of three Hebrew children that because of hope they wouldn't bow, but because of hope they couldn't burn. That's what hope is. Hope is the story, and it continues every day. It's the unparalleled record of the only figure in human history that abdicated his throne and evacuated his grave to give every human being that would dare to hope eternal life. That's our Jesus. He is the captain of our hope. It's the story of hope. It continues to give hope this very day. I have seen God do so many things in my life for me and for others. I'll never forget a night, a cold night, just about this time of year. It'd come a snowstorm similar to what they'd had, Sister Chris, in the east this past week. And the snow was this high. But we were in revival, and the pastor said, we're going to have church. And it was snow about 2 or 3 feet deep. And so we had church. It was so cold. And I got up to preach in that beautiful building. They just built a new building. There wasn't 50 people in that church that night. The weather was just too bad. And so we just went through the motions. I'm not sure how much faith I had. I'm not sure how much faith the pastor had. I'm not sure those little 50 people had much faith. But there was one woman that had never been to a Spirit-filled church in her life. And she came to that church, and she sat, and she tried to figure it out because she could not hear one sound that was going on. She was totally deaf. She came to that service and watched, and maybe tried to read some lips. She couldn't hear the music. She couldn't hear what I was saying. But when I gave an invitation, nobody moved. And I remember just as well because it's 15 degrees or 10 degrees outside, 2 feet of snow on the ground. We've gone through the motions. We've done the right thing. We're getting their coats on like they do up north. They've always got those big coats. And they're getting ready. It's over. We're going home. And all of a sudden, this little woman was standing in front of me. She could speak, but she spoke like a person that had never heard. Her speech is always affected. And she said, would you pray for me? When I reached out to touch her, I wasn't prepared for what one woman with hope could do on a cold winter night. She fell out from under my hand. She put both fingers. She just lay there. And finally she smiled. And she took her fingers out of her ears, and she said, my ears have just been unstopped. I can hear. I can hear. God used people like that not only for their good, but to tell me that God is a specialist in impossibilities. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I tell you, God is greater than your obstacle. God is greater than your pain. God is better than your undesirable position. God is better than your station in life. He is a big God, and God is waiting for your hope to eclipse your doubt and say, I know that my God is going to make a way where there is no way. The story of hope continues today. Your hope is increased exponentially when you know, as opposed to the cold turkey. What do you mean by that? When you begin to know God personally. That's the reason why you want to intimately know God. Jesus Christ is the image of that God that we didn't know. He becomes a personal God. He puts a face and a voice and a hands and a body on that God. And we get to know him personally. It's so much easier when you know the banker. I know bankers all over San Antonio. If I needed money in the morning, I can call bankers and I can have a promise within 30 seconds. That wasn't always that way. I didn't know bankers, but now I know bankers. It just changes everything. My friend, the pastor of one of the great churches in America in Louisiana, is a personal friend of Bill Clinton's. I mean, a personal friend. He devoted 2 pages to him, Bill did in his book. He flew on the aircraft with him all the time, all over the world, and he just knew him all the time. And when he first told me that, I thought, maybe you don't know him that well. And I was watching CNN, and there was Bill Clinton being interviewed in his golf cart, and I looked at my friend who was sitting there in the golf. I said, oh, he does really know him. You know, there might be some people that think you don't really know God as good as you say you do. But you know you do. You know you do. You know him personally. He has been with you thick and thin. He has been with you for years now. You've got a personal relationship with him. And so my friend pastors this wonderful church in Louisiana. And he said, we're out of parking. And he said, across the road, we own the land, but there's a levee on it. Those levees were built during World War II and shortly thereafter. And they're just sacred in Louisiana because Louisiana floods. So you can't do anything to a levee. And he told the contractor, said, just take the levee down. The contractor said, are you kidding? They put me in federal prison for touching that levee. He said, nobody can move that levee. The next day, the bulldozers were out, and the levee was being moved. And somebody said, what happened? And my friend said, I called Bill Clinton, and we got a written authority to move the levee. It's who you know. I don't know Bill Clinton. I've met a couple of presidents, but never with that kind of relationship with them. But I tell you what, my Creator is my Redeemer. The greatest thing in the world is when your Creator becomes your Redeemer. And I know that. And because my Creator is my Redeemer, my hope knows no bounds. Anything can happen. The God that made this universe and this world is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know him. I know him. I know him. The hopeless, they never consider running through a troop or leaping over a wall. But that's always an option in my life. I can always run through a troop. I can always leap over a wall. I have got hope. The hopeless, they never cast into the deep, but I cast into the deep. The hopeless, they never take their nets down and cast them on the other side, but I always cast on the other side. They never embrace the biblical refrain, they that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. God's called us to do big things in great waters. The hopeless say, give up, stop, quit. It's useless, but we say what's before us is greater than that which is behind us. Our greatest days are yet ahead of us. We that get and keeps our hope up are a different breed than those that conclude they evolved from a mysterious amoeba on a pond bank somewhere. We are new creatures. We are Jesus' baby brothers. Have you ever read that text? The Bible said he's not ashamed to call you brother. I'm Jesus Christ. Baby brother, Jesus is my elder brother. I never had an elder brother. I always wished I'd had an older brother that was big and strong so I could smart off and say what I want to at school and my big brother would fight for me. I didn't have such a big brother. I've heard stories about people that had big brothers, but praise God, in the spiritual realm, I got the biggest brother of all, Jesus Christ. He fights my battles. It keeps my hope wildly excited. We are supernaturally motivated to believe. We are created in God's almighty image. We are God's Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. While this world is hopped up on synthetics, we are hoped up in Jesus Christ. We believe every offensive weapon that's libeled against us, we believe it will fizzle. We believe that every accusation will come to naught and every accuser will be exposed. Our hope says that every enemy, that means every enemy, that means every enemy and everything that is adverse will be turned to our good. We believe that every valley has a lily. We believe that every cloud has a silver lining. We hope that there's one more uprising than there is down sitting. We hope there's one more getting up than there is falling down. We have hope in his mercy. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. Friend, I'm doing my very best to live for God. I know some of you might have reached that pinnacle of perfection, but it's just been unobtainable to my life. But my hope is not in my perfection. My hope is in his mercy. His mercy endureth forever. It's fresh every morning. And so because of that, my hope is intact. We have hope in him for our health. Praise God. They tell me I'm getting older. I just refuse to believe that. I just believe I'm getting better. For my hope is in him for my health. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I am yet shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. My hope is that I don't die from cancer. My hope is that I don't die from some disease. My hope is that COVID doesn't take me out. My hope is that I run well and I run strong. And my hope is that my best day on earth is my last day on earth, for my hope is in the Lord. I keep my hope up. We have hope in his word. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. That's what the psalmist said. We have hope in his salvation. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. That's what the psalmist said. We're happy because of our hope. Somebody said, how can you be happy with all that's going on in the world? Happy is he that had the God of Jacob for his help. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. We have hope in the time of trouble. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in time of trouble. Why should thou be a stranger in this land? For you have hope in the time of trouble. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? Hopeful in the time of hopelessness. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as those which have no hope. I'm a totally different species than the man you see walking down the road. He is hopeless. He sorrows in a way that I cannot sorrow. He has trouble in a way that I cannot be troubled. Because I have, as Pastor Brandon preached so ably last week, I have the anchor of hope. My hope is in the Lord. He is able. He is strength. He is joy. He is salvation. He is health. He is power. He is strength. He is everything I need. He's not only in this building. He's in this temple called my body. I am full of hope, the blessed hope. Paul wrote to Titus and said, blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope. It is a blessed hope, a blessed hope. And friend, hope literally bases itself on nothing except God alone. Evidence of things not seen. It doesn't have to be the signs of the time. It doesn't have to be somebody saying the right word. Just because I am in him and I live in him, my hope is secure. God is going to make a way where there is no way. God is going to bring something out of nothing. I'm like Elijah saying, God is going to make it rain. It hasn't rained for a long time. It doesn't matter what has not happened for a long time. God is in charge. And when I speak, God makes my words pregnant with his promise. There's a place where you can get in God. Not just for the common observer, not for the occasional churchgoer, but for the real sons of God. There is a place where you can get that when you speak, God hears your word and brings them to pass. There's a reason why God said, command me ye. There's a reason why God said, take words with you and turn to God. Your words become His fulfillment. You simply say it. And so Elijah said, it's going to rain. And everybody from Ahab to the servant said, there's no evidence it's going to rain. It hasn't rained, and so we don't believe it's going to rain. But Elijah said, take it from me. I have got a heart full of hope, and I tell you, it's going to rain. And so he told the servant, go out. And that servant went out and came back and said, just as I expected, nothing. You're always going to have those people around you that are going to say, just as I expected, nothing good is going to happen in your life. But hope doesn't listen to the servant. The servant has to obey the Son of God. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Somebody in this building that has not had a rain in a long time, and rain symbolizes blessing in the kingdom of God and the Word of God. Somebody that hasn't had a blessing or rain in a long time. Let me tell you that these last days of January and the first days of February are going to be a rainy season in your life. God is about to open up the windows, and you need to tell all the servants around you, go out and tell me what you see. And when they come back and they say nothing, your faith laughs like Sarah laughed and said, oh, go back again. Go back again. Go back again. He went time and time again, and he said, I see nothing. What you see has nothing, doesn't affect what I believe is God's promise. God is going to make it rain. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that God is going to open up the windows of heaven for this church. And the people that simply will not quit, that will not stop, that will not file spiritual bankruptcy, the people that just keep on praising, just keep on giving, just keep on hoping, just keep on worshiping, God's got something big in store for you. Look up, my friend. If you will look up long enough, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. It was never about God's hand. God's hand is always open. He said it's a cloud like a man's hand. It's about your hand. Will your hand be in synchronization with God's hand? If it will, it's going to rain in your life. You've got to say, I know that God is good. I know that God will withhold no good thing from me. I know that it's going to rain in my life. I know God's going to turn it again. I know that God is going to conquer every enemy. I know that God is going to fizzle every weapon against me. Something big is about to happen. There's a promise coming down the dusty road. There's a check in the mail with my name on it. My ship's coming in. God's about to do something wonderful and glorious in my life. My best days are just ahead, and they're near. They're near. They're near. God is going to do something grand in my life. It's going to rain. Elijah was the only man. I ask you, can you be the only person, or do you have to have a choir? Do you have to have a group? Do you have to have a support system? Then I'm sorry, you can't be David. David was the only one. David was the only one. The three Hebrew children didn't have a support cast. It was just them, just three little boys. Daniel didn't have a group of supporters. It's just him. I ask you, can you be that one person that says, I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care what my best friends say. I tell you, it's going to rain. I feel it in my bones. The Word of God is like a fire shut up in my heart. I just feel it. Something good is going to happen. Their amazing miracle is going to transform in the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. I believe. And nobody but Elijah believed. But suddenly the clouds got dark, and the lightning flashed, and the thunder rolled. And everybody said, oh, I believe. Too late. Too late. Too late. If you got to wait that long, it's not yours. It belongs to Elijah. He believed it when there was no clouds, when there was no lightning, when there was no wind, when there was nothing but the Word of God. I love it when Peter said, we fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. Oh, do you know that nevertheless at thy word? Joy, faith, hope, praise God. Years ago, old Mother Holmes was in Africa. She didn't have a big support group. She didn't have a denomination behind her. But she was a little white woman that God had sent to Africa. and she won thousands of people to the Lord. But one day she was destitute. Her funds had run out. She was totally destitute. She went down to the dock and she said, "What time does the mail come?" And they said, "There is no mail today." And she said, "Oh yeah, there's mail." She said, "The Lord told me there's going to be mail with a check in it." And the guy said, "At this little port, there's not even a ship coming in today, ma'am. I'm sorry, you're wrong." She just stood there and said, "I'll wait." He said, "You wait for nothing." Friend, that's the best place you can be, is waiting for nothing when God has spoken. She said, "I'll just wait." And finally, after hours of standing there, she said, "What do I see out on the ocean?" He said, "It looks like a vessel." It got closer. It was a ship. She said, "Not only is that my ship," she said, "I promise you there's a mailbag on that ship." He said, "No, ma'am. That ship is not even supposed to be here. If it were, it wouldn't carry mail." She said, "Wait till it gets here." When that ship docked, when he said, "Is there any mail on this ship?" They said, "There is a bag of mail here." And she said, "And there will be an envelope with my name on it. And in that envelope, there will be a check." And when she opened that envelope, an unknown donor had mailed her a check for $100,000. Oh, don't you want to be that woman? Don't you want to be the Mother Holmes of Living Way, the Mother Holmes of your family, the Mother Holmes of your neighborhood? Don't you just want to say, when everybody around you is succumbing to fear and despair, "Oh, we just love to hate our president. That's the favorite pastime in America. Give me somebody to hate because we want somebody to blame." Ladies and gentlemen, don't you want to be that person that says, "I don't care who's in the White House because I know who's in the big house. And my hope is in the Lord. And it's not subject to Democrats or Republicans. It's not subject to politicians or religion. My hope is in the Lord. And I tell you, it's going to rain like it's never rained in my life. My hopes are up. My hopes are high. My family's going to get saved. My boys are going to come to Jesus. My daughter's going to come to Christ. My mama's going to come to the Lord. There's a revival coming, and God is using me to announce it." Would you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God praise today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's got all the events in place. He just needs an announcer. Gone to many sporting events. I've gone to a lot of Spurs game, a few things. But I went to an Astros game one time. It's the only Astros game I ever went to. I was so disappointed. They didn't have an announcer. You just sit there and watch. They didn't have an announcer in the stadium. I thought they would have an announcer like they had on TV. And I found it very boring. And finally, I found a guy that had a radio, and I moved over him so we could listen to the radio about what we were seeing. They should have been announcing it right there in that big stadium. Friend, God's got the game. It's going to be played out. He's just looking for an announcer. Why don't you start announcing what's about to happen? Why don't you speak it in faith? Speak it in faith. Call those things that be not as though they were, as all they already happened. Why don't you start acting like you already got the check? Friend, when I came to San Antonio to start this church, we didn't have any money. We had no real estate. We had no people. But man, you had a guy that could act like a preacher, Chris. Every morning, I got up and put on a white shirt, tie, and a suit, and a pair of alligator shoes, and walked around. Just go to a hospital, just looking for somebody. Just go to the mall. Just try to introduce myself. I was acting the part because I knew there was going to be a church in San Antonio and I was going to be the pastor. Why don't you start acting the role that you really want to live in? Why don't you just depart from all the negativity and all the people around you that want to pull you down and say, he'll never do this, she'll never be that. They're liars, every one of them. God is on your side. You can be anything that God's called you to be. And why don't you start announcing it right now? I am somebody in the Lord. If you're in this building right now and you just realize my hope will never, ever be sanctioned by those closest to me, but I don't care because...